Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased to be joined this afternoon by Karen, who is here to speak with us about some very fun and powerful insights she's been having recently in her recording and listening practice. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, yeah, pleasure. It was just so fun to hear what you were seeing and just a sense that it could be really helpful to folks in Sangha to begin to hear that. And I just project it, you're kind of point, you're touching into something that we're really starting to see as a Sangha. So it's really exciting. Thank you for being here to talk about it. Maybe we could just start by, you could talk about kind of, you know, what you were seeing about it and how you came across it and that sort of thing.
Well, the insight dropped in when I was doing the two-handed recording.
Mm-hmm.
But it dropped in as seeing a movement that's made in the two-handed recording, and what dropped in is, oh, this is the same movement that we make in the Reflective Listening Buddies program when we're listening to our buddy.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, go ahead.
And so over the years, doesn't happen so much now as it used to, but there are many times I would show up on a Reflective Listening Buddies call identified or distracted or rushed or, you know, come screeching in and sit down and place the call and felt very unpresent and identified or distracted or whatever. But in order to really listen to and be able to reflect and be a mirror for my buddy, I had to drop all that.
Yep.
And that's the movement that I'm seeing that seems like a necessary part when we're listening in a two-handed recording. We have to be willing to listen like we're going to reflect.
Yes, absolutely. That in the same way, so I just love that image, like come screeching in, right? You know, there was traffic that I didn't expect or whatever it is,
yeah.
Right? And if it's, quote, just me, somehow it's easy to stay in that distraction, right? I can't really settle down. But if I'm doing Reflective Listening Buddies and there's someone else on the other end of that line, you're right. In order to be there for them, we do tend to be, it's much more accessible to us to just, I've got to just drop it. I have no choice, right? I've got to just drop it because I need to be listening enough so that I can reflect. So then there you are doing the two-handed recording and realizing, I'm going to project because I've, you know, from my own experience and I've heard other folks talk about it, that there can be that same equivalent of a process. Like, so I've made the recording, now I'm going to listen to it, but there's the same like, oh yeah, wait, what else was I going to, oh yeah, and there's the, well, let me just do the laundry while I'm, so there's not that same level of presence that I'm bringing to, say, a Reflective Listening Buddy, and that insight that, wow, there could be. This could be exactly the same process that I'm bringing to my Reflective Listening Buddy. I could bring when I'm listening with that left hand.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what I saw, too. And in a way, when we are listening to the person that just expressed uncensored, We actually are, you know, there's a way that we are sort of listening to another person. We're not identified with that person. And that's the important piece. And how do we disidentify? Well, it's the same way that we do on a Reflective Listening Buddies call when we're dropping everything so we can turn our full attention to listening to our buddy.
That's a great point. What a great point, but that is what disidentification is. I am quite literally now listening to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where the two-handed recording came from, but it's that thing that Sherry always talks about that, you know, if you use the image of someone drowning, my only shot at being helpful is to not get in the water and flail around with them, right, and have the very same issue going on. But instead, to disidentify from that and be able to be that which can pull them up out of it, can assist them. And that's what I think you're pointing at, is that reflection is the process of doing that, disidentifying and being able to listen instead of be identified with it.
Yeah. And, the other little piece of it I saw is that, when we're on a reflective listening buddies call, the attention is on the listening, the being there, the showing up for our buddy. And it doesn't matter what the content is. It doesn't matter what they're, there's no judgment. We show up with no judgment, with, we've created this privileged environment, this beautiful space that they can talk and say whatever is there for them. And so when we jump over to our two-handed recording, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter what that person just shared, just expressed uncensored. There's no judgment. We are listening in that same way that we listen to our reflective listening buddy.
That's such another huge point. So in the same way, when I'm listening to my reflective listening buddy, I don't have any judgment about it. I don't have any, it's not, quote, my life, right? So it's really whatever they bring, it's completely all right. I'm just there to listen. It's about the process of showing up, the process of being with, the process of listening. Exact same thing with, quote, myself, where it doesn't matter what, in our cases, what she just said, how she said it, what's going on with her. It's just about showing up, being with her, no judgment, complete acceptance, just listening.
Yeah. Mm. And in listening to you, I'm realizing we move into a place of presence when we're listening.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, to me, what you described. And how do we move into that place of presence? Well, it's the same way we do on a reflective listening buddy calls. We have that willingness to drop everything. And we turn that, our full attention, and we just listen without judgment, and also the piece about, listening as if you're listening to someone you really, really care about. Well, for me, that's on the reflective, that's in the reflective listening buddy too. I only have the buddy for the quarter, but I really care. I really want to show up. And it's just, I don't know, it's just such a parallel for me. It's just so, it's so the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's really, really, it's helped in practice for me in a lot of ways, but also in the two-handed recording, because I'm showing up in a way that I hadn't always been showing up, because I just didn't see that piece. I didn't understand.
You did, exactly. That's what I was going to say too. It wasn't that you didn't want to, I project. It wasn't that the sincerity was completely there, but it's just one of those things where we don't see it till we see it. And then when we do, there's such gratitude, isn't there, for having stuck with it and just keep going and just see what unfolds. And then, boom, you see something huge like this that not only opens it up for you, but then there's the, this is the communication book part of it, right? Then there's the communicating about it, and then it becomes available to all of Sangha.
Yeah. Yes. And there's one last piece of it, too, that is that I realize that in listening, that third part of the two-handed recording, when we listen to the wisdom, love, and compassion, the mentor, we're listening to the words of the mentor, that same movement needs to happen in order to really take that in and hear it.
Yep. Yes, that is such a subtle and important point as well. Because, yes, it can be, in a way, it could be easier to do it with, because this person who was speaking in the right hand is really having, something's really going on with her, so I really need to show up. But we want the same process of that complete presence and listening to take in, we could maybe even say, especially with what the mentor is offering back to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a beautiful thing. It's that movement to presence, but I think it was the how dropped in. How do we do that?
Right. I know that's what we're supposed to do. I know that's what we're shooting for. I know that's what's going to be of most assistance.
Yeah.
But what's the how of that? And then it drops in.
Yeah. And you know, the last piece of it is that to me, how we get to practice that movement over and over and over again in reflective listening buddies. And so, you know, it could be if people want to practice that movement, I mean, you can practice it. It's great to practice it on a two-handed recording, but you have to practice it. You have to practice it on both, and you have to practice it in the reflective listening buddies, because either way, it's so obvious if you're not, you know, the two-handed recording just doesn't, I don't know how to say it, but it's kind of like the magic or the transformation or doesn't seem to happen unless we can bring presence to it, and it's really obvious on a reflective listening buddy call when we aren't present, you know, because we just don't hear anything.
Yeah, that's so amazing. So that putting that piece together, that reflective listening buddies, in a sense, is the equivalent of going to the gym or strength training, right? So because what it does is it really builds our ability to be present, which can translate in the way that you're talking, you know, offering to us tonight. It can translate to our own recording and listening practice, which, as you say, it's not that it's needed. I mean, certainly you could practice on your own in recording and listening. But when you have to show up for someone else, it's why I use the gym analogy. You know, if you're going to start running, you want to have a buddy there, right? Because it's much harder to stay in bed and ignore, you know, or ignore my intention to run if my friend is meeting me at the lamppost. It's the exact same process.
Yeah.
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 Well, it is so fun and powerful. And as I say, Karen, I know you had the experience. So, you know, the communication work, the communication retreat that's going to be offered two more times this year. I just think what you're tapping into is something that is going to be a whole, you know, sort of other level for all of us as Sangha. So I thank you so much for being willing to share your practice with us in terms of that being on here tonight.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And it's because of everybody else sharing their practice, you know, and even
so
the communication, you know, all of it is what, allowed it to just drop in. So thank you.
Deep gesho to practice. Deep gesho to each, as Ashwini would say, to each note of intelligence that shows up and helps to continue to deepen the process for all of us.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you, Karen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take good care. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Karen, and good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, great. I'm under a new technical setup here, which always keeps me extra present.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, never quite sure how it's going to turn out. So that's good.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. And I was delighted by your conversation with Karen, and I'm not sure quite how to say this, but with practice, I'm just offered a broader perspective on such a regular basis that it's kind of normal, but it's also incredibly wonderful every time I'm exposed to that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it really is. And I was just thinking as Karen and I were talking, and, you know, she made that comment of something like, and as you were saying that, you know, I just really saw how it's presence that, you know, we're that really, right? And I was just saying that is the process, that what we're always doing in Sangha is we're mirroring and we're being mirrored. And the insights just get deeper and deeper and deeper. And at least for me, and I feel like we've really been talking about this, especially around the monastery lately, and I feel like it's exactly what Karen's pointing at, that that's the process of recording and listening, is that we're all touching into that intelligence that animates, and it's just the most fun, right? So, like, on a good news update or when we're, you know, in group or whatever, it's the facilitator and the person speaking who are kind of bouncing off, oh, yeah, and then, oh, yeah, and that, oh, yeah, and there's that, and there's that. And that process begins to happen for us also in our own recording, and it's just delightful. Mm. Oh, my God.
It is delightful. Lovely.
Yep.
And I have announcements here, unless there's something else you'd like to add before we head over there.
That's great.
Okay. Daily exercises that lead us to expanded awareness. Weekday conference call discussions with the guide. Fun, freedom, and Sangha. All that in our year-long retreat starting in March. And registration is coming soon, so stay tuned.
Yeah. You know, Sherry was saying, was it at the kickoff maybe event? Just that place of, you know, not as a commercial, but just wishing for everybody, if they can pull it off, to participate in that, because it is just, I don't know, just being with Sangha every single day in that way. And even if you can't necessarily be live on the call every single day, you know, I mean, the recordings are always immediately available after the call. And just being with Sangha, and I mean, it's exactly the process of what we were just talking about a minute ago, just being with Sangha every single day and looking deeper and deeper and deeper. It's really amazing.
Yes, that's my experience also. And as you were speaking, the image that dropped in was the, you know, like a rock in a river, and the water just pushes up against it over and over and over. Smoothing it away. And to me, that's the, you know, that's the daily practice. Monday, yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday. Thursday, Friday, yeah. Over and over and over.
Yeah, that's a great image, Michael. That really is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, enjoy the extra support of meditating with Sangha with virtual meditation groups. The 30-minute conference call meditation sessions happen 7 days a week. For a full schedule of the groups, visit the virtual meditation groups webpage at livingcompassion.org. And for these and other 2020 practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Can I mention one more thing, Michael, before
yes,
we get
please.
Started?
Yes.
That I think it was today that the email went out that we are having a final Bridgewalk celebration call on Saturday, 10 a.m. So just would love to have everyone there. And please don't listen to any voice that says, well, you didn't either do anything or you didn't do enough or whatever. I mean, truly, you know, not to get too terribly California about it, but I'm just absolutely convinced that as a Sangha, the Bridgewalk happens, and I don't think any of us will ever know what, quote, my part was in that, and that truly all of us, that happens because of all of us. So please join us on Saturday, regardless of whatever, whether the voices say you deserve it or not. Let's just put it that way. We'd love to have you. So, yeah.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you, Jen.
Yeah.
And a few reminders for today. If you'd like to talk with Jen, you can press *6 and then 1 to get in the queue, make guest show, and a conversation of about 5 minutes in length on one topic would be great. Okay, now if I can work this console here, let's find a caller. You ready, Jen?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Jen and Michael. This is Jeff in Iowa City.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello. I thought I would call with an update. I called 2 days before Thanksgiving and talked to Ashwini, and the big thing was that I was trying to decide if I should contact my father, who I hadn't contacted in 30 years, because I had broken away from the family when I was, you know, 32 years ago, and because of just real sexual abuse, physical abuse, and craziness, so that they, I knew if I stayed, I would just go crazy because they just didn't believe it, that I did it, and then they were blaming me because I had gone into clinical psychology and just had gotten weird on them, and so I just thought, well, I just can't, you know, do that. So for, you know, whatever reason, good or bad, I made that break, and then it dropped in kind of a little bit before Thanksgiving that, you know, I'm not the same person, they're not the same people, and I could extend an offering to get together. Even though I had felt reconciled to them in my heart, I knew my dad was getting older and that maybe there would be some benefit for him and that. So Ashwini gave me some really good guidance, and she said, well, really look at your motivation of why you're doing it, and see it as a workshop, you know, because you're wanting to see if this is just something that dropped in that's worth following through, or is it a setup for more suffering, or just go ahead and look at all that. So I really took that to heart and really looked at it, and I kind of got and thought that, well, I'm was divorced a year ago and living in a new town, and I don't really have much family. So I was looking at that, and I was thinking, well, am I calling because I am just lonely, and I'm, but I'm not really flat on this or whatever, afraid of going through the holidays by myself, that sort of thing. So I just looked at all that, and I said, well, I'm just going to get through the holidays on my own, and it'll be hard, but I'm just going to practice more, practice, and then see what happens, because then the holiday issue will be off the table. So I got through the holidays, and I felt like, well, you know, I'm not attached to the outcome of what my father will say. It can go either way, but I don't really have a strong sense that I should do it because he could very well get very mad and might stir some stuff up from the past, and why go there? So I said, I'm just going to be I'm just going to sit with it longer, and there's no urgency. And then a couple weeks ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago, it was in mid-January, my aunt called, who is my father's sister, and she is a Catholic sister and kind of one of my spiritual heroes, because she was just a very non-typical Catholic sister in terms of spending her most of her life in the Dominican Republic working with the poorest of the poor, and didn't really care about dogma or any of that. So she called, and she kind of said, well, have you thought about calling your father or contacting him? And I said, well, sometimes things drop in
that.
Sometimes. Yeah, funny you should say that. And she said, I really, you know, you pray to God about that, what you should do. I'm not telling you what to do, but you should really consider that, you know. So I took a day or two and a couple of days and thought, well, my aunt is asking me to do this. I feel pretty flat. You know, I'll just go ahead and write him a very kind, heartfelt contact letter, say that I've moved, that I'm divorced, that I'm not writing because I need money or because I want acceptance or any of that. I'm just writing to say I'm sorry that I hurt people back then, and that I think of you and now and then, and think of the good times as well as the bad. And if you want to contact me, here's my contact information. And I thought, well, I felt okay about that, and so I sent the letter off, and I said, well, however he responds, I'll be okay with it. And then today I got the letter from my dad, and it said basically you are it's hard to totally paraphrase this thing, but it basically said, well, it's only like about four lines, and just said, I'm receipt of your letter, and I'm your statement about I'm very sorry for the pain I caused people now appears to me to be tied to your current personal problems and not to the pain you caused the family. And you destroyed your mother, and she carried that hurt to her grave. Rathering to continue citing the reasons why I do not want contact with you, let me just say that it is too little too late. So, Jen, I guess I just called to get a little support and any thoughts that you might have. I can hear the voices. They just jumped on me.
Sure.
Got that letter, I'm a horrible person, and I.
When you paraphrase what the letter said, the first thing that dropped into my head is, and are you practicing like your hair's on fire?
Yeah.
Right? Because.
I'll
tell you what, that to me is what's absolutely required. And,
pardon me?
Yeah. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. I just missed that last line.
Yeah, I was just saying that to me is what's absolutely required. Because, a workshop like that, this is my experience of it. Mm-hmm. That a workshop like that where you looked at it, and 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 you got really as clear as you could, and, you did all the practice around it, and you knew that you didn't know how it was going to go, and you knew, I would project, that anything could come up as a result of it.
Yeah.
And now here's what you have. And so to me, it's just that place of that allowing that mentoring presence to be there to say, no reviews, nothing. Okay, great. We decided to take that action. Here's the thing that happened. That's okay. And now we're going to be with him through everything that comes up for him through that process.
Yeah. Those are very, very good points. I can see one benefit of this is I've kind of thought about contacting my father the last several years, but I always had fear, like, you can't take a punch. If he comes after you, you just stay away from, you don't even think about that. And so now I guess there's a little bit of sense of, well, okay, I was really afraid of that, and now it's happened, and I'll just be with the person and not, freak out about it.
Yep. And to know that he's going to experience everything he experiences around it. And that in my experience, it's so important not to believe anything about that. So in other words, if he has some pretty rough days because of this, it doesn't mean anything about his practice. It doesn't mean anything about who he is. It doesn't mean anything about how he's doing. It just means it's a lot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And, if we wanted to get really religious about it, which I always love in my own recording, maybe this whole thing around contacting his dad wasn't because, maybe he's going to have this great real connection with his dad, but was because he was ready to walk through all of this And this is the way that it's going to put it all up in front of him to walk through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And not to, you know, not to futurize either about what it all means or anything, but just to say
exactly.
Present and you know. And I like your comment about no reviews, because it's easy to go there.
Yeah, it is really easy. That he just, to really get it, that, you know, it would be such a good, I don't know if you've already done this, but a good time for a two-handed recording, like we were talking about in Good News Update.
Oh, absolutely. I've already done it a couple times today. It's my go-to.
I mean, maybe daily
tool.
For a while.
It is. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I do it daily, and Jen, I'm going to step it up even more because that
good for you.
I learned that this is the practice is what's saving my life. So, I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That in a situation like this, there's nothing more important than taking care of that guy. Nothing more important than that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Well, Jan,
and
thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And thank you for calling. And, you know, thank you on behalf of you and him that you called tonight. Because that's such a perfect illustration of that there is a grown-up there. There's that mentoring presence that knows, okay, this mm-hmm. is big for this guy, and it's hard. And so I want to get him all the support I can.
Yes.
So
Sangha
good for you for
is
calling
a
in
huge, huge support. So thank you, Sangha, too.
Huge support. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Jan.
Oh, thank you. Take such good care.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Jen, that was a powerful conversation for me. And courage is the word that kept coming up.
Yep.
Courage and willingness and presence.
Yep. Exactly. Courage is such a good word. And then presence also, like Karen pointed at, you know, just, boy, in a situation like that, it's just so... It's so important, you know, and important to make that movement we were looking at in Good News, right? So that place where, so, you know, all of Sangha can be listening into this call, right? And our heart goes out. And it's in many ways, it's much easier for us because it's not my father. It's not my situation. It's not my family. So all we feel is just that pure compassion. When we're the person who it's actually happening to, it can be much harder because it gets all in there with the self-hate and the, well, you really are a horrible person and the, you know, all of that gets all mixed in. So to make that movement that Karen was suggesting in the Good News Update where we really step back and see ourselves, we could say through the eyes of Sangha, like how would I feel if that someone else called into the radio show and started to talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, there, that gives me a different access, a different viewpoint on the whole thing.
Yes, yes. And that addition of no reviews seems just absolutely essential in this situation.
In all situations. I was just thinking about that. I'm applying it to my own situation, Michael, so thank you for that, reflecting that back.
Yes, exactly. Good. Okay, Jen, I think we have another caller here.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. It's Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi. Wow, that was a great conversation. Yeah, I've called just to participate mainly and to express gratitude for practice and just to see what arose.
Great reason.
I haven't called in a while and just made a conscious effort to do it. And
I love that, Renee.
I
find that that's a big part of my recording and listening practice, I find. And I remember when I rounded that corner and where it would be – well, I'm just pressing record because I have so many recordings that start with, well, I'm just pressing record because it's what we do and who we are.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, isn't it?
It is the same thing. And that kind of points to where my recording listening practice has been lately.
Hmm.
And it came from Guidance Day when Sherry had the Guidance Day
for
the fundraiser. And I had said that I run out of things to say when I'm recording and I don't really know what to talk about. And then she said, well, it's just like talking to a friend, like just talk to yourself as if you're your best friend. After she said that, I just started talking to myself, whatever, like on the recording.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'm just like, oh, look at the sun, look at the sky, you know, or hi, how are you? Or it could just be anything. Yeah.
I love that, Renee, because you know what? I was just the other day, I was out on a walk and doing that exact process. And I was realizing, and it is just like talking to a friend in the sense that, at least this is my experience, that, you know, you're out with a friend and, you know, they're just, you're talking, and then there's kind of a lull. And you're just looking to see what's next.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you know, and then there's something else suddenly that sparks, and then you're off and running for whatever period of time.
Right.
Or the other piece of it that I was looking at is how, you know, especially if you haven't seen someone in a while, this is true for me, you know, partly for my lifestyle, but with friends and family, where then I'll get together, and there's sort of this warm-up period, like, we haven't had a lot of rain this year, you know, I realize is, It's just sort of a process of, I heard Sherry once talk about, you know, we love each other, right? But you kind of feel awkward just saying, I love you. I really love you. Gosh, I love you so much. I love you.
Right.
So we're looking for other things to say. And there can be this warm-up period until we drop in, kind of. And then there we go. We've dropped in. And I find that on my recordings, too.
Yeah, for sure. And just increase in my recordings from that particular, just freeing up. There was supposed to be so much that I was supposed to be saying, and which is ego, you know, just trying to put something on the recorder. And the call last week with Anna about the commitment was such a good example of what I experienced.
Hang on one sec. You're breaking up a little bit for me, and I want to find out from Michael if it's me. Am I breaking up, Michael, or is Renee breaking up for you?
Is that better?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, I'm here now, Jen.
Okay.
Renee was breaking up just a little bit, and I can hear Jen just fine. But it was only just a little bit right at the end there, Renee.
Okay.
Okay, maybe you could just say the last couple of sentences, Renee.
Yeah, I was just saying that last week's good news update, Anna was talking about the commitment. Is that better?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
where Anna was talking about the practice commitment. Yep.
Yeah. And then what happens is you have the commitment, that heart desire to make the commitment, the one that is the original, you know, authentic nature wanting to do something. And then ego takes it over, and then it becomes like a contest or whatever your particular, you know, ego thing is. Then I could see that even with the call tonight, like, okay, I'm going to call in. Okay, what do you got to say? Okay, it needs to be an insight. Okay, you need to tell everybody about that. And, you know, and... And then I was like, no, that's exactly what was on that call. I just want to call in. Like, I
just
want to connect.
Brilliant.
And express appreciation and see what arises and see what arises, you know, whatever there is in that moment. Yeah.
And what's so fun, of course, is what arises is the process that's happening right now. And it's so fun.
Yes.
Because then that gets to be what's revealed and everyone gets to look at it, and it's just, oh my gosh, it's just so fun. We're always being freed by what's happening in this moment when we make that movement from believing it, right? I mean, that's just so perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's like it drops in. I think I'll call in tonight. And you can just see the voice like, okay, that's fine, but like, you have to have something good. And what's it going to be?
Yes.
Well, an insight?
Right.
And well, that's not a very good insight. And pretty soon it's going to be, you know what, I think actually I won't call it tonight. Because that's,
right.
I hate that.
Pressure.
That stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pressure
not
and
fun
the
anymore.
Suffering. Right.
Yeah.
It's not fun anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing that just, that I've really been experiencing, and I, you know, I don't think I got this until recently, really, in the way that I've got it now. Like, I think I had them every once in a while, maybe in practice. But now, I really am understanding the...
So you're breaking up again,
or,
Renee, a little bit. So you're, what... You hadn't seen it. You think you've sort of seen it, but not really. But what you're really understanding now is... Ooh, now we've really lost you.
Oh, am I here?
Oh, no, now you're back.
Am I back?
Yep.
Okay, something happened. Yeah, I was trying to fix something to work. So, yeah, I don't know where you left off. So I'll just say that so that we can... hopefully you can hear me. So...
Yep, I can.
I never really understood or didn't fully appreciate or fully get to be from love or be in love or that we were love or all of that. And just with the new recording and listening, I just want to say that that is sort of what I'm learning as I deepen the recording and listening practice.
Yes.
That learning what that means and how it feels and the opposite of hate, you know, self-hate, and and it's just awesome. I don't know any other word to say.
That's a really good word for it. Yes, because it is that, you know, I keep hearing myself say this, it's been coming up a lot, but that attention is love. Love is attention. And that's what's happening in that recording process is we're paying such close attention. Again, it's what Karen started us off with. Tonight. Mm-hmm. We're paying such close attention and we're being paid such close attention, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So there are both things there. So it really is like a love affair, right? Just like when you're falling in love with someone, what do you want to do? You don't, I mean, it's what Karen said, you don't care what they're saying, like what they're doing, you just want to be there. You just want to be there attending. So that is the process. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And you just, and you start to really get what that is and what it means, and then you can go back to it because you know what it what it felt like, where it is, and, you know, just switching back and forth, or switching away from self-hate is usually what we're doing, not, we can go to love on purpose. Yeah.
And when it's, quote, not what I'm feeling, like, oh, I'm not really feeling it, you know, I'm recording and nothing's happening, we can just know, okay, well, that's, I'm just not here. And in my experience, the practice at that point is not then to get in a battle with ego to, okay, I'm going to get here, right? But just to keep going, just keep recording, just keep listening, just keep practicing, just keep, because I will get here, I'll come back. You know, I don't need to fight to make that happen. It will happen. I just keep going. And then eventually, you know, and usually after a pretty short period of time when we're that aware of the process, we just get back here.
Yeah. And I, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, however you are is fine, you know, and that's all I have to say. And then it's all good because if there's nothing to say or you don't know what to say or whatever is going on, I'm here with you. And sometimes my recordings are silent.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like
you would be with a really
I'm
close friend. Sometimes there's nothing to say.
Yeah. Cool. Mm. Thank you.
Well, it turns out there was something to say.
There was. I haven't found too many times when there's not much to say.
Thanks so much, Renee. It was really fun.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. And Jen, I really appreciate that. Love is attention, and attention is love. And it does seem like they are synonymous, that when I am attending to something, then I am loving it. And as you said, we can't go around saying I love you all the time because we feel too awkward. And so what I can do instead is to bring as much loving attention as I can to everything.
Exactly. Yep. Very true.
Yep. Fascinating. And Jen, under this new technology arrangement, I am not sure how to play the ads yet. So if it's okay
with
you.
Should we say something good about what would you have played, Michael?
That is a good idea. Yes, recording and listening training is a wonderful program. I think that's the ad I was going to play.
I think we've covered that base tonight.
Yes.
And also that's a really good point, that getting a trainer or joining whatever the next group class is such a good way to keep, you know, your tools sharp. And also for people who are new to it or, you know, just have that, like, that voice that says, well, I'm not having the experience everyone else is having, which is, in my experience, completely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That is absolutely par for the course. But as, again, we were talking about with Reflective Listening Buddies, joining up, getting a coach and or joining one of those classes is a way to get some support from other folks from Sangha around it.
Yes, exactly. Very well stated. Thank you, Jen. And related to that, I wanted to mention that there's an app for the iPhone that's great for recording and listening, and it's called Practice Recorder. And it's on sale in the iPhone's App Store.
Great.
And I think we're ready for our next caller here, Jen.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. It's Marianne from Vancouver calling.
Hi, Marianne.
Hey, Marianne.
I have to laugh because I was just lying on the couch and I reached over and I thought, oh, am I going to get in the lineup or what? And I picked up my iPhone and it automatically said, you're in the queue.
Oh, funny.
Yes, I just touched it, but I hadn't.
You hadn't realized. I guess life put you in the queue, Marianne.
But my hand did.
Lovely.
And I am just, I would say I am grooving on this conversation about recording and listening.
You're right there. Say more.
Well, because I had the experience just recently. Last week was feeling, I am identified. Trying to step back. And this morning I said, I have to connect with myself. And so I sat down and made a recording. And I said, what is going on? Can you tell me? I know there's something going on with you. Can you just tell me what that is? And then I put it in the left hand, and wow, I got a picture that I wasn't aware of.
Wow. Oh.
It was like, this blows me away every time.
Yes.
Because...
Yeah.
The answer was right there.
Yeah. Yes. And it was in asking the question that then there was the access to it.
And so I could listen and go, oh, I can see that. I can see how this process allows me to connect so deeply with myself.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, I have heard, you know, spiritual teachers say, well, you know, the answer is within. Well, that's fine, but if you don't have a key to the door, it's not that helpful. And
in fact, it can be really frustrating.
Yes, and you can think that there's something wrong with you that you don't get
it. Exactly right. That's exactly right. It can just be folded right back into the whole suffering system.
So it's the process of being able to talk to myself, hear myself, listen deeply, and is a way that I can connect. And I realize, like, it is actually loving myself. And so there is the attention, there's the love.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And doesn't it even start to feel like the image that just dropped in was the drawing from the new communication book, you know, of the old-fashioned operator, like plugging in the different lines to the, you know, okay, let me connect you through. And that's what it's like, isn't it? So you could say I'm listening to myself, but it's almost like plugging into something that's just there, and I'm just tuning to it. And then, boom, it's just kind of coming through me, if you will. And then I'm being loved, and I'm loving, like we were just talking about in that last conversation.
Yeah, so I guess that is the part where it goes so much deeper than just saying, oh, I'm just talking to myself, listening to myself, because it is talking and listening to the universe.
Exactly.
My commitment this year is to keep the channel open.
Oh, perfect. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it makes me want to sing because this is so powerful.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I'm hearing myself also say this a lot, so I'm not quite sure what, but that together as Sangha, it feels like we're just, you know, that process we were talking about earlier of mirroring and being mirrored, and it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper because what everyone says truly becomes part of the seeing. So I don't know if you have this experience, Marianne, but, you know, I'm positive that every single thing everyone has said on the show tonight is being registered in awareness, right? We could say in Jen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have the experience where, you know, 6 months down the road, I'll be recording and I'll say, you know, it's like that thing Marianne was talking about on Good News that one day. And it just drops back in. And what you realize is it's all in there. And so everything everyone is seeing in Sangha is becoming part of this, like, massive awareness that's been available to all of us. And the thing that I'm aware of is that, this is at least how it was for me, that it took me a long time before I understood, and I think actually you're pointing at this too, and Karen was pointing at it in the Good News Update, it's not automatic that I can immediately just plug into that. Oh, yeah, oh, I see, okay. Like, so there's this big, you know, Sangha is having this transformation, and I can just plug right into it. It can be a while before I really understand that or have a sense of what that is or how to go about that or have that experience for myself. But it's my experience that if we just stay with it and we keep doing the practices, that it's inevitable that that happens.
Yes. I think that when I first started recording and listening, though, I used to make a really long recordings. Like, I would just keep going and keep going until I hit that sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I would know because the joy would bubble out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so having those experiences of and, you know, sometimes it was pretty inane stuff that I would be recording. just keep going with the recording, and then all of a sudden you hit something, and I would just burst out laughing, go, oh, my gosh, here I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yes.
You know, that inspired me to keep recording.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, and that's a great point. So it's not just stay put in terms of keep showing up with Sangha, keep going on retreat, keep listening to the radio show, all of that. But even within a particular recording, a particular time, right? So 5 minutes, I don't feel better. Okay, well, 7 minutes. Well, the voice says this is stupid. Okay, 8 minutes. I mean, I just keep recording. I just keep, you know, just like I would with a friend. Just keep, yep, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, the birds are singing. Well, tell me about what you're seeing. Oh, well, the sky is beautiful, actually. It's a nice pink sunset starting. And because we're training ourselves to get here, and that's a way to train ourselves to get here. And then we drop in, as you say, and we know we've dropped in, right? Because we giggle or we, you know, there's that joy that bubbles up. And
yeah, I feel like the recording and listening is very precious, and the sangha has become this other, it's like a magnifier.
Yeah,
it is like the it's like a megaphone that is blasting out.
Yeah,
and it blows me away again because, wow, we're all on the same path, and look at us go.
Yes. Yeah,
well, I'm so glad my hand reached out.
Exactly. I'm so glad life put you in the queue. Yeah. Oh, it's delightful. Yeah.
There's nothing, it's validating to share that the experience.
Yes. That's another such important point, right? To not say, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm seeing those same things, what people are saying, or but, you know, I don't need to say it. But that's not true. Each person has their own way of expressing it that adds to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like we are Indra's net. We are each time and reflecting each other.
Yeah.
Reflecting each other.
Yeah, that's right. Indeed.
Well, deep cast show to everybody and to recording
and
listening.
Yeah, deep cast show to everybody. Yeah. Thanks for letting life unmute you.
Good night, Michael. Good night, Jen.
Good night, Marianne.
Good night, Marianne. Thank you for joining us, Marianne. And as you were just saying, Jen, it is critical for all of us to participate in every way, and it's a great reminder of knowing that everybody's out there.
Yes, exactly. Everybody's out there, and everybody's having whatever experience they're having. And that's, you know, it's like the thing we were talking about, I guess it was with Renee, that whatever that is, that's perfect, right? It doesn't have to seem like the same as anyone else's or the whatever it is. Whatever's going on with me, that's the thing I'm bringing. And that's perfect, and that's important, you know, for all of it.
Yes, and it's just, when we haven't heard from someone for a while, I wonder, well, you know, how are they doing? And, you know, it's just such a joy when they call in again and, as you say, talk about whatever is going on for them, whatever it happens to be. It's just a joy to hear the voice and the person and to know that they're practicing.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of practicing, we have another caller here, Jen.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Susan from Ventura.
Hey, Susan.
Hello. Oh, good, you can hear me.
We can, You're continuing the tradition of, didn't you used to always be the last caller on opener?
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm like the last batter up. Well, I thought was, well, maybe the other people drop off as it gets to the end. I'm going to hang on.
So, oh, yeah.
You know, what I was going to talk about, it's interesting just for me how it changes as I listen to people. And I kept flashing on that poem. I think it's by Rumi about something. I think it's him to the effect that our only job is to remove the barriers to love.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know, just whatever, it's there. It's just whatever is getting in the way. And for me, you know, I have this little voice in my head goes, well, if you don't have a major problem or something to be solved or fixed, or then you can't call. And so I don't have a major problem. I don't have anything to be fixed. I just kind of have what I've been looking at, which is kind of similar to what I said about Rumi's poem and my noticing the last month or so has been around my impatience and sort of, I don't know, like when people I care about and I want to see and be with, blah, 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 don't respond to my invitations or they don't reciprocate or they don't respond fast enough, I get this kind of hurt, angry, resentful. Well, I'll show you. I'm just going to withdraw and you won't hear from me and eventually you're going to miss me. You know, that kind of packing my bags.
Yep.
And it's so strong and so I don't usually act from that place, but I also have a hard time getting away from that hurt, resentment, anger. And it feels like a real barrier to what I want to feel instead. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes complete sense. That we can guess it's a process that conditioning is putting up to create a barrier. I mean, we could say between you and life in the biggest sense. Between you and whoever.
Right. Mm-hmm. Between me and me.
Yeah.
So I was kind of getting down on myself today about it. Like, why are you that way? Other people, you know, aren't that way. Oh yeah, like nobody's patient. And then it dawned on me that the gift in it is like that's probably been a process I've had for years. And it's the first time I've really seen it as a process and not the truth.
Good
Even if
you.
I can't change it, I still feel angry, hurt, resentful, I want to punish people. I'm not doing it. I'm just kind of like, wow, it's there. This is, you know, it's like the guest house. It's Rumi too. So
yes, exactly. It's just here. And, you know, so that is so big, Susan, to be able to see that it's a process. As you say, even if that doesn't magically change it, right, doesn't necessarily mean all those feelings go away, the sensations of the body, the conversation. And to pair it with, you know, I forget how you phrased it exactly a minute ago. I was getting down on myself, I think you said. But to see, that's the same process, right? Because that also isn't me getting down on myself, right? That's the voice doing to me what the voice is doing to everybody else.
Yeah, and it also means I can't share it because it means something bad about me, which means it sticks around even longer. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah. So you've been seeing it as a process. Have you been working with it in your practice? Have you been approaching it?
Well, actually, it's my kind of came up of my subject for the Socratic email class. So, and just since impatience is one of my things, just sitting with it for like the 2 or 3 days instead of responding immediately, I'm like making draft emails that can be sent in a second. You know, I can see it there, that same, I can't stand this. I got to just respond right now. I think it's anxiety and fear. You know, I don't totally understand it, but there's something there. And so it's kind of like unearthing it more than anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And has reporting been helpful at all in that process? Sorry, go ahead.
I've been doing recording, but it kind of feels still a little bit like what you're talking about, like possessed. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, it's possessed again. You know, like I can't quite drop down. I know I can. When you said that, I could feel. Like, I'll meet somebody, a good friend, and I'll say, don't say anything important because I'm not here yet, you know, but to get to the place of, they laugh, and they know what I'm talking. I don't say that to everybody because they think, okay, she's schizophrenic.
She's crazy.
But,
exactly.
Yeah, she's out of her mind.
And so when you say, Susan, it feels like you're possessed, In other words, like, are you doing something like put the recorder in the right hand, that person is just blah, 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 and can't believe this, and why won't they that? Is that what you mean by kind of feeling possessed by it?
It's that same voice. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, like I don't drop down. It doesn't, it's not a nice voice on either side yet.
Got it. So, and you've been doing the two-handed format, or more just kind of picking up the recorder and talking about the impatience?
Well, I was doing just picking up the recorder, but this morning I did the two-handed. And actually, this morning it helped. The answer was really kind of brief and practical, and I could feel this kind of impatience. Like, that's all you have to say.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Something very kind of down to earth, and just wait. It's okay. So I probably need to do more. I just it's strong. I mean, it's been a lifetime process that I'm looking at, and it's hard,
and you
to
know,
hold against it.
And Susan, what drops in for me is it feels not dissimilar to what we were looking at with Jeff. It can seem almost trickier, I project, in the kind of situation you're describing, because, you know, irritation is impatience. It's not something that feels so grave and, you know, kind of, I don't know, whatever. But that, in a way, I would bet it takes kind of the same level of courage that we were looking at with Jeff in terms of being willing to really be there with it. Because at least in the way you describe it, it sounds like the voices really have that poor person trained to try to get away from it, try to get away from it, try to get away from it. So even the process of doing a two-handed recording is going to put her really right up against it, right? Because the two-handed recording and what we started with Karen in the Good News Update, that's asking for a level of, we could say, patience and presence that's going to threaten that whole system. Because, of course, if Susan is able to kind of settle down and, you know, listen and just be here for that length of time, you know, be allowed to put the recorder in the right hand, say whatever she wants to say about that, and then put the recorder in the left hand, just quietly listen through that, completely attend to that person for however long it takes, then take a breath, press record, report, right? It's already going nuts listening to me describe it, isn't it? Right? No.
Oh, wait, you're right.
No.
I'm like, throw some fire on the blade.
Exactly.
I mean, I can feel the anxiety or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
As you talk, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Don't listen.
Yes. And maybe that's the place of that, to just begin with that great compassion for her, because even in working with it, she's going to have to she's really going to have to go up against it. And so for her, that the sensations, I imagine, that you're labeling anxiety will get bigger and bigger. Like, okay, this is taking too long. We got to finish this. It's not really, oh, she's just like rambling. I don't want to listen, you know, whatever it is, but it's really going to take you away from that. So, you know, just in little bits, just taking that step back and being with her. It's all right. It's okay that it's hard. We don't have to do a long, you know, we can take little tiny steps.
Yeah.
Today
we'll
do a 1 minute recording.
Yeah.
Maybe the next day we'll do a minute and a half.
Yeah.
We'll just see it. Little. I'm right here with you as we go through this process. It's all right. It can take all the time. It's okay to feel impatient. It's okay to have the feelings of anxiety. And if if that means we stop recording today, well, okay, that's fine. We'll just watch that process and we'll pick it up again later. And, you know, to bring compassion to that piece of it.
Yeah, I could feel myself relax when my brain heard the words, if you only do one line, that's enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just I'm in control of it. Yeah, the baby step thing, because otherwise... Yeah, and I think under it, too, is this sort of, with the voice that says, you're not important, you don't matter, blah, 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 whether it's somebody else or me, and that's really, really old.
And to take time to do that says, I do matter.
Exactly. And that's going to really threaten that whole system. Because if we sit down and do, I mean, can you just picture it? Like, okay, I'm putting it on my calendar. I'm going down to the beach or whatever, half hour, these 30 minutes. I am sitting down on this beach. And I don't know if we'll record. Maybe we'll get talked out of it. But I'm sitting down with Susan for these 30 minutes. It's going to go nuts because that's going to interrupt that huge thing of Susan doesn't matter. She's not important.
Yeah. I can feel it. I can feel the truth of that, you know. Just kind of getting permission and getting that reinforced. Because on my own, I'm not. I can do a lot. I get a lot accomplished, but it's not from a place of I matter. It's get it done. It's a to-do list. So okay.
It's so important. And, you know, Susan, it might be, you know, you matter. It might be one to, you know, write on your hand and put on posters and then just start each recording with that, right? Whatever else we say, I just want to remind you that you matter so much to me.
Oh, you know, it's so funny when I got ready, I go out and I walk in the park and to call in, and I was walking in the park and someone in chalk had written, you know, so as you walk, you see it in big letters and all these colors, you matter. I'm like, oh, my God.
I love
like,
it.
Could there be another message from
okay,
the
I get it, wife. I
mean,
get it.
Okay, exclamation point. I just had I was going to take a picture, but then I thought I'd get bumped out of the queue. But it was so funny because it was that, you know, undercurrent was there. So, life chimed
Well,
in.
You know what?
Yeah,
you can either go back and take a picture tomorrow in daylight, or you can buy her own sidewalk chalk. Make it big in the color she likes and take a picture of it, right?
That would be something right underneath that. I agree. I matter.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. And report back. Let us know. It's such an important and fun and courageous project. So,
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Michael, too.
You're welcome.
All right. Good night. Thanks, Susan.
Good night. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Susan. And thank you, Jen. And it was a lovely show, and I really enjoyed it.
Me too. Thanks so much.
All right. Go happy.
Okay. Go happy. Good night.
Good night.